Because I'm sure that when I start saying stuff, you guys are going to be like, oh, yeah, exactly. Sure. Blah, 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 blah.
That sounds a lot like me.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk about why those damn atheists are so arrogant and how they think they know better than everyone else, and really why that's bullshit.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Hi, you're listening to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Tim Wick.
Hello.
And Molly Glover.
It's me, Molly.
It's a racial stereotype.
Well, you started off differently than you didn't do the welcome, so I figured we were all trying to do something crazy.
Just forgot what I usually say.
I'm sorry I outed you, husband.
Because we're professionals. And today we wanted to kind of come back to a topic that was kind of brought up in episode 82, where we had our guest Mark Lazarczyk, who had asserted that kind of being an atheist is an arrogant nature.
Yeah, he said atheists are arrogant.
Atheists are arrogant. He also said that he loves making generalizations to save time.
Yes.
So
to be fair to him, right. He does say that.
I don't know, like I think he said, like, the smug certainty
that there's no God.
The saying that you know. But it was the issue.
Which is strange, because he did not seem to assert that same smug certainty to those who are religious and are just as sure in their direction.
Well, is it because there are more of them? You know, that's what I wonder about. And I got to thinking after the episode, I was like, you know, if I walked up to a religious person and I asserted there was no such thing as Zeus, They would not consider me arrogant for stating unequivocally Zeus does not exist.
Right.
Right.
They would be like, well, of course Zeus doesn't exist. But there's as much evidence for Zeus as there is for their God. But the minute that I say, I don't think your God exists,
right,
I'm arrogant because I have made an unequivocal statement that completely disagrees with what they believe. And so now I'm arrogant because I have the audacity to say to them, I believe that what you believe is false because there is no evidence.
Even though we both believe this other thing that's exactly the same is false.
And we can come up with all sorts of things that we agree with about that. We can agree that there is no such thing as a unicorn.
Yeah. What's interesting is... There's a similar path you could, you know, analyze it from another way, which is someone might say, well, if you just go up to someone who's religious and just tell them that they don't believe in God, of course I'm going to think you're arrogant.
It's
the behavior. Now, but I would say that I have often had, I think everyone has had, somebody approach them and tell them, Jesus loves you and God loves you. And just so you know, there's a God and he believes in you, even if you are having a bad day.
You've been proselytized.
Now, no one, or I should say, that's seen much less as arrogant.
It's not viewed as arrogant at all.
They're trying to save you, Tim.
It's not the behavior is what I'm getting at. I'm playing the devil's advocate argument against your statement of arrogance, saying it's not the behavior. Obviously, it is something about that rejection. What people find arrogant.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what kind of bothers me is that when an atheist says I am certain, and you hear this a lot from, honestly, you hear it more from agnostics, I think, than from Christians, when an atheist says I have come to the conclusion that there is no God and I am certain enough that I'm not going to hedge my bets by saying that I'm an agnostic, then you get that response of, well, that's just an arrogant point of view. How can you know? Well, I can't, and you can't either. But what I can do is I can look at the evidence that's in front of me and reach a logical conclusion. And I don't feel that that's arrogant.
Who was it that said they round up?
Yeah, I do.
99.9% sure, and I round up.
And it's so you're... you are willing to change your mind if the evidence proved otherwise.
Well, we did the episode about the debates where mm-hmm. we weren't watching the debates. Right. And I went back and I watched them later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the things that really got to me was they had a question that was posed to both Ken Ham and Bill Nye. What would make you change your mind?
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Nye said, evidence. Mm-hmm. If you credible could provide evidence. Me one piece of credible evidence to support your point of view, I would be willing to change my mm-hmm. mind. And Ken Ham said nothing.
He said nothing. Not yeah. like he didn't say anything.
His answer was nothing will change my mind.
I have faith in my God.
And to yep. me, that's a more arrogant response Absolutely. Than one that says, if you provide me with credible evidence, I will reconsider my position.
Well, it's saying that faith should matter more than fact faith. Or evidence, which that's arrogant to me. If you think that because I believe something, why? Because I believe something is somehow more credible than shit we can prove, measure. Touch, feel, measure, reality itself. This pleasant thought I have is more important than literally everything that exists.
Well, my concern about God is it places an intangible being that at best is disinterested in what we do
yeah.
above the lives of everybody around us.
It's a type of objectification, if you think about it, because it's objectifying the people that you encounter in a day-to-day situation, because it's, well, you can say, oh, they're sinners. And by you know, there's that idea that once you put a label on somebody and you can see them as other, you know, now you actually are seeing them as less than human. You're objective.
Oh,
you're
demonizing.
Not demonizing. It's just you're seeing them as not. They just, they don't count. It's like, it happens to women a lot. It happens to minority groups a lot.
Shh, it's okay, sweetheart.
Right. So the idea that they then say, oh, they're all sinners, or, oh, they're atheists, oh, they're non-believers, they're, you know, and therefore you can just not worry about them. Like, you just don't have to worry about if they can eat or if their kids are being molested or whatever. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah, but part of Christianity specifically is evangelizing and saving souls.
Right.
I mean, a major theme of the religion of the Holy Book is spreading the word, spreading the gospel, witnessing. Right.
But the reason that they're able to do that and not feel like they're being arrogant is because they have already turned you, the non-believer, into something less than.
Your opinion doesn't matter.
Now that you're less than, they're going to bring you up. They're going to uplift you with their amazing gospel. And I think that is even the most arrogant. Like, I turned you into something else and I'm going to take it back by giving you the gift of my beliefs.
What? That's like knocking up a woman with yourself as your own child and then killing yourself to save everyone that you created.
And saying, see what you made me do.
Right.
you fucking asshole.
If it wasn't for you fucking people that I created,
you know, if you think about it another way, we all got God laid.
Oh. Yeah.
Fine. You're welcome, God.
Yeah. You should thank
Human us. Sin, the ultimate wingman.
I bet she was tight, too.
And there's the...
She's a virgin.
There's the arrogance, I think, of anybody who says something like, well, God hates fags.
Right.
God hates gay people.
God anything.
I apologize for the use of the term fag. I'm
You're quoting.
I'm quoting. But yeah. The idea that anybody knows what the fuck God hates or loves...
Thinks
to presume you would know what an omnipotent, omnipresent being could think is arrogant.
And if you're a Christian, to presume... I always talk about... When I talk about how... If somebody says, well, what do you know isn't real? And I can say, I know the Christian God isn't real. And if you ask me why, it's because there's 40,000 different sects of Christianity.
Yeah.
And if they can't even agree...
Yeah.
...to that... And there are more every year. And if they can't even agree to that level so that there's... They're all basically believing the same thing. So, I mean, there are sects of Christianity that think being homosexual is completely fine. Mm-hmm. There are sects of Catholicism that think being homosexual is completely fine.
And they say they don't listen to the Pope, who's supposed to be, like, in charge.
Like, that's like what defines you as Catholic, right? Isn't it the Pope?
Well, anyway.
That specifically makes me think of this. There's a scene in the show Moral Oral where they meet his family meets an identical family, and they are just, they're perfect. They get along so well. Like, the moms, everyone gets along swimmingly, and they're forging this great friendship. And then they're having bread dinner together, and they are saying the Lord's Prayer, and they get to the and forgive us our trespasses, and then the other family says and forgive us our sins, and they freeze, and the adults just glare at each other, and they're like, well, we didn't realize the type of home we were in. And they gather their children and they leave. Oh, you can't play with him anymore. They say trespasses, we say sins. And it's this, like, it's great allegory.
But, like, up until that point, 100% agreement.
It's this great allegory for the two type, for different sects of Christianity, and how it's like they're fighting, like, what's the fight over? Like, well, we think God wrote it this way and you say God wrote it that way. And it's a word that's basically just a synonym.
Yeah.
And so they're, yeah, it's very quibbling over details.
Basically, anyone that's Christian is someone that's accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I mean, that's like that's it.
That's theoretically the checkbox. So that, you have to decide what. Okay, you accept Jesus as your Savior, but then what did Jesus say you were supposed to do once you did that?
I don't even think it's necessarily that. I think it could be. And how do I celebrate that? And how do I honor that? And how? And what are my culture's traditions in regards to Jesus being our Lord and Savior? I mean, I don't necessarily think that Lutherans think Baptists are going to hell or Catholics are going to hell. I think that Catholics think most non-Catholics are going to hell.
No, they're going to purgatory.
Whatever.
It's different.
I think that...
They're going to a different place that sucks for all of eternity.
No, you get out of purgatory.
Back on the arrogance idea, I think that, really we're talking about presuming to know... Let's just say you believe in God. Let's just say there is a God. All present, all, powerful and all that, and omniscient. And to presume that you think you would even have any concept or understanding of what that being would want, think, or feel, to me, is incredibly arrogant. And so I feel like the only way to be a religious person who isn't arrogant is to say, I believe in God, and I literally have nothing else to say about it, because there's nothing that I could do or think that would please or not please this being. I have no way of knowing. It's omnipotent and omniscient, I'm going to guess, with whatever.
And it hasn't bothered to really communicate it. Yeah. I mean, you're a Christian, you're going to say that God communicated to you through the Bible, and my response is, well, if God communicated through the Bible, why didn't he make it clearer, since everybody has a different opinion of what God's saying? Well,
or God has a, bad things happen. God has a plan. Let go and let God.
Mm-hmm.
Or I pray and I affect God. Like, which is it? Is there a plan? Is there fate, in a sense? Is God in control of anything? Or does prayer actually have power and you're able to control?
Can you petition him to change his
God?
Plan?
Yeah.
Which is arrogant.
It's super arrogant.
Yeah, and if we're talking... But, of course, if we're talking about this and talking about how other people have what to us seems to be a complete logical disconnect between what's really going on in the world and what's going on in their church, are we being arrogant by saying that? And to me, it's just asking questions.
I think you're arrogant whenever you presume that you know anyone else's motivations or whatever. It's arrogant. I don't think that arrogant is automatically pejorative. I don't think it's automatically something that you should avoid. I think there's, to some degree, if you can't be a little bit arrogant, you're just self-effacing, and you're
constantly... What's the difference between arrogance and confidence?
Right.
So, okay, I just Googled define arrogance. All right. Having or revealing an exaggerated sense of one's own importance or abilities. The antonym would be modest.
So it's saying, it's not just being boastful, because boastful could be, it's inflated. It's not real. It'd be overconfidence.
I'm smarter than you because I'm an atheist.
It's late Middle English via old French from Latin, claiming for oneself.
I didn't realize that you were, I don't expect you to understand politics because you're just a stupid Christian. Like, if you believe in the Bible, clearly you're not smart enough to believe in anything, to understand science. That's arrogant. Yeah. Yes.
Sense of superiority, self-importance, entitlement, arrogant claims.
And so I understand why people who are religious think atheism is arrogant, and it's because of the shit that's been beaten into their heads about, you know, you have to be humble before God, your God is a jealous God, you know, he loves you, but he also requires total devotion, no other gods before me. And so the way they're kind of like, how can you just say there's no God? I mean, like, he was very clear about not saying that. So, I mean, yeah. It's...
And the counter of, well, how can you say for certain that there is a God? Isn't that just as arrogant? That's going to fall on deaf ears.
They think it's humble because they're humble. They genuinely believe at the core of their of themselves they're humbling themselves before God.
They're acknowledging that there's something greater than themselves. Therefore, they're humble. By saying you're an atheist, you're saying there's nothing greater than myself. But I never said that. No, all I said was I don't believe in God.
And the thing is, I don't think any atheist would believe that. How can you say that there's nothing greater than yourself?
There's all kinds.
Time is better than me.
Nick and me.
Time's going to win.
Nick and me together is better than me alone. Like, I mean, just even just that. Just yeah. the way we work together as a unit is better than either of us alone for half, you know, a lot of the time.
If I decide to write a play with somebody else, yeah. I feel like it comes out better than if I try to do it all on my own.
Absolutely.
There's so many ways that atheists, well, not just atheists, that anybody mm-hmm. makes something greater than themselves without the inclusion of a deity.
Or looking at it from like a astronomical perspective, we are incredibly insignificant. Looking yeah. at it like just looking at it on a time at a geological level, yeah. we're nothing. Looking at time at a level of how old the stars are and how old the galaxy is, we literally don't matter except for in how we give our lives meaning.
Yeah.
So I don't see how acknowledging that as an atheist is arrogant. I feel like that's incredibly humbling.
I think it's...
There, when you reach that conclusion, when you sit there and go, you know, I am a blip on the cosmic scale, you know,
a
million
pixel.
Years from now, nobody will have any concept. No matter what I produce, you know, I produce a song that becomes really really popular and 100,000 people listen to it. Well, after I die, fewer and fewer people will listen to it, mm-hmm. and someday nobody will know that song exists.
Also, all
a million years
history,
from now, they won't know who Shakespeare is, if humankind yeah. even exists.
All of human yeah. history, if you looked at the history of the universe as we know it so far, all of human history would be a pixel, maybe on a big ass screen. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's
what is it arrogant about that?
I don't know.
What is arrogant about that belief system?
It's. I really do think that Nick's onto something, and that it's that when people say you think that there's nothing greater, there's nothing bigger than yourself, and that's it, what it is. Is it's like almost every casual dismission of atheism and all atheists blank. It's a complete lack of understanding about what the actual beliefs are in those systems of atheism yeah. and, right. and what they entail and what secular humanists actually think, as opposed to what people think they think.
And I think yeah. it's interesting in that, you know, this is going to sound awful because I really like Mark, who is the guest that we were talking about, yeah, this arrogant idea.
We all like Mark.
Yeah, Mark's
a great
guy. But when he talks about how people are arrogant, he is in a big glass house.
He said many times that he is a huge hypocrite.
He is.
He said that probably 8 times over the course of the day, I should say that.
He did. And he's one of the most arrogant people I know. But it's not really about Mark, because he's not the only person that thinks this way.
No.
And I really think he thinks it in a very surface way, obviously. His best friends are all atheists, pretty much by and large. I mean,
he's married to an atheist.
He has friends, I'm sure, that aren't, but at the same time, like he even said, I mean, I think the majority
the only reason Mark identifies as an agnostic and not an atheist is because he doesn't like the way some people react to the word atheist, and he's a fucking pussy.
Yeah. It does seem that way. But I think that's the way.
And just real quick, I want to clarify. Mark and I are friends, and I'm calling him a fucking pussy in a way that's like, I could punch him in the arm and call him stop being a fucking pussy. Just right.
It's not at all malicious.
Right. There's no malice.
But the thing is, all of us were at that place not even 8 years ago. I mean, we didn't want to say atheist. Maybe said agnostic, sure. Said apatheist, because atheist was a word that brought a lot of baggage with it. And so we all have a pretty recent coming out story.
There was that fear of calling yourself that.
Well, I used apatheist out of accuracy.
Yeah, no, me too.
Because I feeling, you know, like 99% agnostic, but then realizing that, like, the 0.1% convincing didn't matter one way or the other. Yeah. Like, even if a God did exist, it doesn't matter because it's not going to change how I live my life in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
And I called myself an agnostic for a long time because I really was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. And when I finally was like, you know what, I think I do,
mm-hmm.
I switched to atheist, but I wasn't really out about it. And part of it was that perception and that constant thing of, well, atheists are arrogant, atheists are jerks. When you say you're an atheist, you instantly are antagonistic towards everybody who is not, or it's assumed that you are.
It's assumed that you are. Well, you are antagonistic in that you are the antagonist to their protagonist. I mean, you are directly oppositional to that. And mm-hmm. for that is one of the reasons that, you know, you don't talk about politics and religion and sex in polite company. Sex isn't just because you aren't supposed to talk about it in terms of, doing it or, you know, propriety. It was that, but it was also like, it's nobody's business who you're having sex with. And it could be a touchy topic when people weren't really out about being gay either. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff.
It's, I don't know. How strong is your faith if another person not believing what you believe, like, upsets you or shatters your faith? I mean, if the existence of atheists is really such a fucking threat, how strong is your faith?
Or your God.
Right.
Yeah.
If your God's really real, then it has nothing to worry about.
You know,
about, you know what, 10% of the population not believing
in God. There's one more thing that there was a news report this week that, again, got into that whole, well, how arrogant are atheists? There was a girl who was starting an atheist club at her school.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I'll link to this friendly atheist.
She's
blog bullied, post about it. And she was bullied into not starting the atheist club. Now, who was she bullied by? You know, you assume she was being bullied by Christian parents and Christian students who were so threatened by an atheist club.
Yeah.
And that really bugs me. And again, it speaks to who's arrogant in that situation when you presume that you've got a right to go to this 15-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And threaten her and her family because you don't like what she is doing.
I posted it on our Facebook page a while back, but I want to link to it in the show notes of this again and mention it here, which is Bo Burnham's song From God's Perspective, which is the most poignant and beautiful thing I've ever heard about religion and the best argument for God I've ever heard in my life, which was, there's a line in the song that's, my love's the type of thing that you have to earn, and when you've earned it, you don't need it. And you won't need it anymore. So it's like the idea that, I mean, just this idea that God is real, and the reason I can say that to you as an atheist and how that jives with you is that you don't need God anymore. You have found a way to be moral and happy and live a good life, and so I'm not worried. And God isn't worried, and God has set you free. But those of us who still believe need Him, and He knows that. Like, if someone said that to me, I would be like, all right, man. Like, that's a... why can't you just...
I'm willing to believe in that God.
That'd be insane.
There's another part in that song that's like, why the fuck would I kick it with you in heaven? Like, you're murdering people in my name and, like, being an asshole
we'll link to
people.
It. You really just gotta listen
and,
to it. It's
like,
so great.
Like, why the fuck would I invite you into my pleasure palace? Like, you are a dick.
I very much like it, and I think it seems based on his, and it's hard to say because his stage persona isn't. He's been very clear that his stage persona isn't him, but it's just a exaggerated extended version of him. But he seems like he went to a Catholic school, and it seems like he has recently lost that faith if he ever had it, you know, or if he ever had it to begin with, or he's, you know, come to terms with what's probably been brewing for a while. And his take on God, and that's is very much that sense of like, we could never presume to know what God would want. Why? How the fuck do you think that's going to get you anywhere in life?
Yeah, and again, that to me feels far more arrogant than saying, I have come to the conclusion that God doesn't exist.
Yeah.
What's the line in that song about heaven?
It's you're not going to heaven. Eat a million crackers, sing 1,000 hymns. None of you are going to heaven. You mean the
heaven on
earth. Oh, I'm sorry. It's none of you are going to heaven. Something, and then it's like, but maybe life on earth could be heaven. Isn't just the thought of it make it worth the try?
Reminds me of Imagine.
Yeah. For sure.
Right. So, 5 questions.
Sweet.
From some arrogant listener.
we have 5 questions from Miranda Richards.
Hi,
also
Miranda.
Known as at Mandy Dax.
Oh, yeah, Mandy Dax.
Mandy right Dax, on. How you doing?
She's a Twitter follower.
Question number 1, Mandy Dax. What is the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
God Bless America. Hmm. The Bobcat Goldthwait movie about Frank and Roxy, serial killers for a better America. It had that weird feeling that making mass murderers the protagonist engenders. Things like Natural Born Killers and Dexter make me really think about how I determine what is right and what is wrong, and how there are degrees to my morality. Watch the first 20 minutes of this movie and tell me you don't sympathize with Frank, and I will tell you that you are one of the bad guys in the movie.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Man, Bobcat Goldthwait's kind of an awesome director.
He's amazing.
He did World's Greatest Dad, was that?
World's Greatest Dad, yeah, or Father, yeah.
Did you see that?
No.
Oh, Robin Williams... just really, really great. It's on Netflix, I think. I would recommend it.
There's so many things on Netflix.
It's darkest of comedies. Uh-huh. I mean, like suicide and plagiarism, and it's great.
I love that suicide and plagiarism are
that's the whole plot.
Yeah,
the whole plot
is,
of the movie is suicide and plagiarism. Question number 2, who is your favorite atheist character?
There are so many good candidates for this. I'm rereading Philip Pullman's His Dark Materials, and I'm tempted to switch to Lord Asriel, but I'm sticking with Colonel Samantha Carter from Stargate SG-1.
Oh.
She has met creatures that many people would believe to be gods, including one that was literally in her head, and she fought against or allied with them in order to protect people from the sinister ones. Hell, she blew up a fucking star in pursuit of that goal. Top that.
I don't think I can top blowing up a fucking star. And so...
Jesus, Tim.
I know. All right. Question number 3. What's your geekiest hobby?
My geekiest hobby is probably doing vector drawings of My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. That's awesome. I haven't really done a lot with that recently, but I do have an animation program and I'm considering doing my first comic as an animation.
Sure.
The comic took this land bit from Firefly, shut up Tim, and ponified it. And then she posted a link that we will post. It's awesome.
I did vector animation in Flash in college, and you should do that for fun and to impress girls on the internet by making animated GIFs to their friends doing stupid things. Maybe for Molly. Do you know the difference between vector and raster?
I don't at all.
Raster is like defined pixels. Like this image is 100 pixels by 100 pixels. These pixels are this color. These pixels are this color. Vector is there's a triangle of this color in these dimensions taking up this amount of space.
And
vector scales infinitely. It'll always be the same quality and same resolution no matter what it's scaled to, because it's all saved in like geometric terms.
Okay.
It's we have these shapes and these colors overlapping each other in these ways.
Very cool.
Yeah. Anyway.
There you go. Nerdy, you're number 4.
Question number 4. What is your favorite sandwich?
This one I have known since I had it. In the summer of 2012, my friends were planning their wedding, and I was to be the maid of honor. We got together with the best man at the Irish Democrat in Cedar Rapids. I decided to live dangerously and ordered the Aussie burger. It was amazing. It's a regular 1/3-pound pub bacon cheeseburger. Sorry, Nick. But they add a fried egg and peanut butter to it.
Whoa.
It sounds weird and gross, but it's the best burger I've ever had. I just checked, and they still serve it. I must go back there someday and have another.
We had... fried egg and peanut butter sandwich. Peanut butter and jelly with fried egg.
Peanut butter and jelly with a fried egg sandwich.
And a fried egg is good on a burger. We know that.
Well, we know fried egg, you know, that's like, as we said, it's an upgrade to any burger.
And we know bacon and eggs is good.
Yeah.
And we know peanut butter and bacon is good.
Right.
Peanut butter, bacon, egg, cheeseburger. I think I need to try this.
Fried egg. Yeah.
We'll do that at home with beef bacon.
We'll try that sometime. We'll try that here sometime. Yeah. And we'll do another. It's time for another sandwich taste test.
Mandy
Dax has
a twist my arm.
Sandwiches. That's hard. All right, last question. Question number 5. What's the stupidest thing anybody has ever said to you about your atheism?
I'm not really an outspoken atheist. If it comes up, I don't dodge the issue, though. One day at work, I don't remember what I even said, something about monkeys, but this guy from another department was there, and he turned around and looked at me all accusatory-like and said, "You believe in evolution?" Since it was a non sequitur, I was confused and answered, "Yes." Then he said, "Do you know you're going to hell?" I told him I don't believe in hell, and he threw up his arms in exasperation and stalked away.
Wow.
I was totally bemused. Of course, knowing the fallibility of memory, it probably didn't quite happen that way, but that's how I recall it. So to sum up, monkeys leads to evolution, means atheist. Okay.
And hell. So
she says, keep up the great work. P.S. For those playing the Geeks Without God drinking game, Jeremy Stomberg.
Fantastic. Good job.
I love that.
Oh my God, I'm so excited for Convergence.
That's perfect. Yeah.
Make everybody get so drunk.
Oh God.
Fantastic.
All I'm saying is throwing up your saying you're going to hell. Sounds awfully arrogant.
Oh yeah.
Oh, presumptuous.
Well played,
what's
Tim.
What's that? Judge not, lest ye be judged. And
that is in a part of the Bible that nobody gives a fuck about.
Who is without sin cast the first.
Shut up. Fuck
something
that.
About like a shellfish tattoo being totally cool on your balls or something. Like, what is that?
Eat bacon while you get tattooed.
Yeah, there's a horse.
Yeah, yeah.
There's four horses.
Something. I don't know. There's some equestrian shit happening there.
Yeah.
So we've been the arrogant trio that is Geeks Without God.
Better than all of you, yo.
Yeah, so we know and you don't.
I'm hot.
So, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and please do us a favor, even if you don't have it, just download iTunes and rate us on iTunes, because it matters for things.
It does.
And
stuff. It matters for stuff, too.
If you don't know what we're talking about a bit today, episode 82, Mark Lazarczyk was our guest. If you disagree with Mark Lazarczyk or hate Mark Lazarczyk, guess what? They hang him in a cage out of the Renaissance Festival where he can't walk away from you.
And you can throw shit at him.
So you can go up to him and just tell him how wrong he is for as long as you want.
In fact, if you give him money, he will tell you something about you that you don't know before.
He's really good at it. He'll do that.
He's
so
very insightful.
Generous. We'll see you next Tuesday. Bye.
See you next Tuesday. You see, it spells cunt, you plebeians.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time. You can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Oh, I have a coordinator. Well, then I better quickly give them my bank account information.